book of Genesis, chapter 45, verse 21. Genesis chapter 45, verse 21. Genesis chapter 45, verse 21 reads this way. It says, "And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way." Drop down to verse 24. "So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege once again of gathering together as your people in your house to hear your word. And so, Lord, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. And, Lord, that you might reveal the truths you have for us tonight. And that, Lord, you would strengthen the faith you've given to us, that we might draw closer to you, to one another. And, Lord, to be the light and the salt of the earth that you've called us to be. Again, bless and we'll praise and thank you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, "See that ye fall not out by the way." See that ye fall not out by the way. Now, here's the dilemma. Here's the situation. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. They were taken by it. I'm convinced, you don't have to agree with me on this, all right? But I am convinced that the Lord God moved Joseph to reveal himself exactly the way that he did that. If you'll remember, when Joseph locked them up for being spies, they all were saying it's because of what we did to Joseph. Only God can bring that about. Bring the right kind of conviction. They said themselves, and they were not people, brothers, that were very godly, and yet God still loved them and was not finished with them. And it said, because of, well, didn't I tell you, I don't remember if it was Reuben or which one, it said, didn't I tell you you shouldn't have treated him that way? And then they've been harboring this lie for these many years that Joseph was away from them. Now, listen, they have to go back and tell their dad. This is a lie. We lie. Joseph is still alive, and this is what's happened. And for sure they know this, that the truth was going to come out. If they didn't tell their dad what had happened, surely it would just come out in conversation as he got to be around where Joseph was at. Here's the dilemma. The famine is very sore in the land, and this is really an oasis, but with a bitter pill to swallow in a sense of confessing their sins. But it's a good thing, because liberty and freedom come when we make things right with the Lord and when we make things right with everybody that may have been involved in what we did that was wrong. So this is a good thing. So tonight we want to just take note of an important lesson in God's great faithfulness. God is faithful. The brothers were not faithful, but God is faithful. Was God faithful to Joseph? Absolutely. Did Joseph understand everything he went through? I don't think so. Was it Joseph's choice to be treated the way he was treated? Was it Joseph's choice to be sold into slavery? Was it Joseph's choice to be falsely accused by Potiphar's wife? Man. You know, was it Joseph's choice to be forgotten by the butler? And no, it wasn't. And so all these times, all these things are happening, and maybe things are running through Joseph's mind. Okay, maybe now God's promises are going to be fulfilled. I believe he was always looking to the promise that God had given to him. It was crystal clear in his heart and mind. It needed to be crystal clear to carry. Listen, God gave Joseph a powerful promise that he was experiencing that carried him through. What do you mean by that, Brother George? My goodness, in spite of everything he faced, all the adversity, all the trials, he never failed or wavered from his faith and trust in the Lord God. Only God can do that. And so may we realize where our strength comes from. Don't muster it up yourself. Get it from the Lord. That's where he wants us to get it from. That's where it comes from. So tonight we're going to look at three thoughts very quickly. Fighting the natural tendency to turn away from God's plan. That's the first thought. Fighting the natural tendency to turn away from God's plan. There is a natural tendency to turn away from God's plan because the flesh doesn't like God's plan, in case you wondered. God's new joy is the second point. God's new joy, and then a walk of faith with an expectation. A walk of faith with an expectation. Do you think a lot of work would get done if there wasn't a paycheck at the end of the week? Do you think a lot of work would get done if you were just doing it for nothing? So listen, God does not expect you to do something for Him for nothing. He rewards our faith. He builds our faith. He blesses our approach and our seeking Him. He says, if you seek me, you're going to find me. And you know what God knows that maybe sometimes we don't know? God is awesome. The presence of God, the stability that God wants to give to us, listen, God will give you and I more than we can ever get on for ourselves. And it will mean a whole lot more, really, as we experience the Lord. Now, we have this natural tendency to try to do it on our own and do it for ourselves, and we'll be all right. Well, that's our choice. It surely is, but we miss out on what God wants to do when we do that. So let's look at the first thought here. And again, we really want to be reminded that God greatly rewards everyone that puts their faith and trust in God's great faithfulness. Not ours. Not ours. Did Paul say, look at me, I'm so faithful. Do you want to bow down before me? Is that what Paul said? Do I impress you? Aren't you impressed with... That's not what he said. Everything pointed to who? God. Everything pointed to the Lord and His great faithfulness. In fact, if you remember what Paul said, he said, man, I'm the least one. I'm the one that was a castaway. I'm the one that was a murderer. And yet God has given me a great position in grace. By the way, if you're here and you are a child of the King, a child of God, you have been placed into a position that has no end. You have been placed into a position that has no end. Now, whether you choose to believe that or not, that's your choice. But God will confirm everything He's given to us as we seek Him, and we'll see that here tonight. So look at verse 21 with me just for a moment. And again, we want to come to this place where now they're supposed to go back and tell Dad that Joseph is alive, and we've got an oasis here. There's famine in the land, and this is going to be made right. So look at verse 21. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out of the way. Stick to the plan. Don't let something distract you. Don't let something take you away from seeking and fulfilling the will of God. Do you think they understand now the dream that Joseph was given by the Lord? Do you think they understood the ramifications that were involved? It was their livelihood. They said, we don't want to... Listen, right now they were glad to pay Joseph homage because it was because of what God did through Joseph that there was food. God chose to use Joseph and to bless not only Pharaoh, but really to watch out for Israel and all of his children. And so this is a wonderful thing. And God has given to you and I great and mighty things as well. But I want you to know there's a lot of distractions out there in the world today that will deter us. And I don't know what it is, but it's real. More today than ever before. I think I've mentioned this to you, and there's statistics out there. Look them up. Electronics. And listen, you can't live without them. It's unfortunate, really. And some might say, well, I don't want to live. It's a big convenience. But they draw us. They draw us. And I'm not talking, I'm just talking about using electronics the right way. I'm not talking about licentiousness. I'm not talking about the horrible things that electronics can bring out. But do you know that people, there's some kind of a chemical reaction in our brains to look at that screen? There's some kind of a gratification there. And you've heard of this before, right? Clickbait. They'll show you a picture of something, some little clip, and you never even see what was in that little thumbnail at all. That's a disappointment. But why do I keep doing it? Why do I keep, let's see that, and it's not there. It's not there. Well, my goodness, listen, that's the world. It deceives. And I'm talking about, you know, some strange new animal that was found, and you never see that thing that they showed you in the front there, or some kind of a new find and some kind of an archaeological discovery, and they lead you some other path, and it's like, boy, that was 5 minutes. I'll never get back, right? And what's really bad is it disturbs our sleep. Did you know that? It disturbs our sleep. I have a bad habit of leaving the television on and falling asleep with it. And my wife will get in the middle of the night, you know, hey, you got to shut that because it disturbs her. And I'm glad it does because I need to shut that thing off. I don't know that you fully fall into stage 3 sleep with that stuff going on around in the background. But they say that there's some kind of a chemical reaction that brings some kind of a gratification, but it's not fulfilling. It's not fulfilling. It's a deception. And I'm just talking about, you know, if you want to look up historical things or what have you, good things, but those things are not what God wants us to seek after. God wants us to seek after things that work in our spirit with His Spirit and that reveal more about the Lord. Aren't you impressed? Aren't you awed by the things of God? Isn't that a good place to be? And so now here are the children of Israel, and they've been revealed this good promise here. And so now they've got to deal with this decision now. What do we do? Are we going to go to our father, and are we going to tell him that now that Joseph was dead, he's really not dead, Dad? And really that's a good place because there is a promise with that confession, and that is that they were going to be fed. They were going to be provided for. And the same is true in our lives. When things are right between us and the Lord, we receive spiritual food and we receive strength and provision for the way and for the day, each day. And so secondly, we want to consider this new joy, God's new joy. And notice verse 25, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying what? Joseph is yet alive. And he is the governor over all the land of Egypt. Listen, and Jacob's heart, what? Fainted. Why? For he believed them not. You would have thought he'd have been excited about that. He said, man, you know what? You guys are scoundrels. But this is, you've reached a new low. he didn't believe them. You guys have reached a new low. I mean, my goodness, with Diana, the daughter, and Shechem, and all this, you made my name to stink there, man. You guys have hit a new low. And so he didn't want to believe them. So what do we do with this? Spiritually speaking, listen, Jacob was crippled. At that particular point, he didn't believe the truth. Now, it may have been because of the messengers. That's a poor testimony where they're coming from. But I want you to know that God knew he was going to have this difficulty. And God knows every difficulty that you and I face. And God has, with the difficulty, made a way out. He has also, with the temptations that we face, made a way out. That's what we need to put our faith in. God, I don't have to fall for anything. Because you have made the way for me to walk in. All right, so with that said, now watch this. Look at verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he... And so now he says, hey, listen, Joseph's still alive. He didn't believe them. So now he's going to tell them, now they're going to tell them specific things that Joseph said. And they told him all the words, verse 27, of Joseph, which he had said unto them. So he said all these things that he told them in the previous verses that we had just read and all the provisions that were made and everything that he had given to them and that they were to come down. And there were 5 more years left of the famine. and that he was going to be provided for. Did you follow all of that, right? In the previous verses there, he's telling the brothers that, listen, there's still 5 more years of famine. You need to come down. We're going to provide for you. We're going to put you in Goshen, the best of the land. Everything is going to be good and taken care of. And so he's listening to what Joseph said. And notice what happens here. Again, verse 27, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, that's powerful, which Joseph had sent to carry him, listen, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. His spirit that he communes with God, his spirit that the Holy Spirit moves in, revived. Because he saw God. Listen, God knew what he needed to build up his faith. I remind you of Doubting Thomas. There's other people that we can refer to, and yet God gave Thomas exactly what he needed. Rhoda, remember when Peter was locked up in prison? And who knows how low she was, but God allowed her to answer the door. And she was so excited, she didn't even open it. She got so happy, she went back and told all the other disciples, and they said, man, you're crazy. Oh, you've seen his spirit or something. And then they opened up the door, and guess who was at the door? Peter was there. And do you think they had a little bit of happiness going on? Do you think they had a little bit of praise going on for the Lord? See, that's how God works. But what if she didn't even have the faith to answer the door? You see, we miss out. We could either choose to see God or see people. We can either choose to believe that God works in everything in my life, or we say, oh, really, you believe that? Really, you believe that? That, you know, when people say that, I see God. And people don't see the Lord. I promise you, they're not going to get very far in their spiritual life with the Lord. Because I believe his word that says that he works out all things for my good, even the difficult things. All right, so as we consider this, he's happy. No doubt, the Lord is doing this work. He gave him what he needed to see. And notice this. This is kind of interesting, too. What is the name of the father here in verse 27? Jacob, their father, revived, right? At the end there. Look at the next verse. And Israel, same person. And Israel said, it is enough. Now he's Israel. Did you see that? Before he was Jacob, unbelief, despair, woe. But now all of a sudden, when he said it's enough, he's a prince of God. I don't need any more. Say no more. My heart is convinced. My confidence is solidified in the Lord God. He's Israel. He's Israel. So we can walk around as, oh, it's just a sinner saved by grace, bless God. Just a sinner saved by, and that's true. But if that's where we stay, we'll miss out. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Amen? Or we can just be a sinner saved by grace. Just a sinner. And listen, the reason why I say that is because a lot of times people are referring to their imperfections instead of seeing God's perfection. That, listen, he says, I want you to be a peculiar people. Well, not me, bless God. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I want you to be able to tear down the mountains. I want you to have a life that shows the light of God. Well, not me, bless God. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, don't you know? That's all I am. No, I am much more. That's where God brought me from. That's where God bought me. But he intends for me to walk toward him and follow him. And that he'll do a work in my heart, in my mind, and in my life that changes me. Or we could just simply be, sinner saved by grace, and I'll just wait till I get to heaven. I promise you're not going to have a lot of victory in your life. I promise you're not going to have a lot of experiences with God because there's no faith, no trust in what God said. Listen, I want you to know I have the same feelings you have. Same feelings you have, I have. I can sit down in the Molly Grubs if I want to. I fight the same battles. I fight the same anxieties and the same worries, or I could say God is in control. A little confession here, just so that you understand. Do you know I have worried about things? In case you wondered, I have worried about things. I have worried about things for more than one day. The same thing I've worried about for more than one day that never came to pass. Whatever I was worried about never happened. And I lost joy for more than one day. And what was that? Was that faith or was that unbelief? Well, see, bless God, what you didn't understand, those days I was just a sinner saved by grace. Instead of realizing that I'm a child of the King and God holds me in His hands and that He'll work out all things for my good. Do you mean even the difficult things? That's what he said. It's all right to say, God, I don't understand this, but I know you hold me in your hands. This doesn't make sense. Listen, even in heaven, we won't understand everything there is to know about God. But there's a thing called trusting him and placing our faith in him. So now, where's Israel? He's Israel. He's no longer Jacob. He's Israel. He's a prince with God. Amen? Listen, God has created us to be his ambassadors, his representatives. Do you think God has failing and faltering ambassadors that are weak? Is that what God's plan is? Or is that just our thinking? See, well, you know, wait a minute. Let me look at the Word of God and see what God has provided for and what God has promised. So as we look at this, I like it. Verse 28, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. Do you think there's any doubt in his mind? How did he get that? The previous verse, he was just a poor sinner saved by grace. Now he's a prince of God. God gave it to him. God, listen, this is not, I used to call them pep rallies when I was, it's a pep rally, right? This is not a pep rally. This is not just, I'm not trying to wind up your stem to go set you loose out there with something that's not real. I'm telling you what you need, God will give you. God is not wanting us to go out there and say, well, bless God, I'm supposed to be a Christian, so I'll put a smile on my face. No. God will put the smile on your face. God will give you the encouragement that you need. God, just the way it happened right here. Here's the truth. And we will have down days. It's not wrong. It's okay. It's what we do with it when we're in the valley. So again, verse 27 says, and they told him all these words, all the words of Joseph when he had said to them. And when he saw the wagons, listen, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it's enough. I like that. He didn't believe him at first. And now he says, okay, I don't have to hear anymore. What happened right there? Do you think he read a self-motivational book somewhere? Do you think he did a little chant 10 times and now he's ready to go? No, here's the truth. God did something for him. Amen. Where? Inside. God did something for him that changed his whole outlook on life. We need that. I want you to know I am an emotional human being just like you. And I've told you this before, I can be on topside today, walk out right now and walk out those doors, spiritually speaking, and fall flat on my face. I'm talking about with worry, and I'm talking about with fretting, and I'm talking about with you know, woe is me. I can do that. You can do that. I'm not saying, and please don't misunderstand me, God is not wanting us to have no emotions. He created us to have emotions. But here's the key. It's what we do when we're in the valley. Are we going to go to the Lord? Or are we going to not seek him? Of all times, wouldn't you guess? Wouldn't you think? I ought to seek the Lord. But wait a minute. Question. Sometimes in the valley, is it hard to seek the Lord when you're in the valley? It is. It is. So let's just be real here. Sometimes in the valley, it feels like there's no way out. Is that not true? Sometimes in the valley, you just feel like you're broken. Sometimes in the valley, you just think, if just one more thing, I'm just going to die. Physically, I'm just going to fall apart right here. One more thing, as light as a feather. I can't, not anymore, Lord. Not anymore. Do you think God knows that? Now, here's the answer to that situation. What am I going to do now? And it's hard. Talk to God. Call upon him. Why? Because he's promised to answer in your time of need. He said he'd be there. That's why you call on God. Because you fight and you ask God to give you the strength to fight how you feel that you might call upon him. Lord, is it his will? Give me the strength that I'll call on you to answer me. Lord, I am defeated. Lord, I am in a place that I have no strength. I cannot help myself. I need you, God. Do you think God will hear that prayer? I think more than any other prayer sometimes. More than any other prayer. Jacob was in a tough place. And God brought him out of it. We can't bring ourselves out of it. That is for certain. But we have a God that can bring us out of it. And so as we consider this, let's look at the last part here. And well, before we get that, let me show you this. Let me show you what happened here. So again, he says, it's enough. My son is alive. I know, Joseph, my son is yet alive. In verse 28, I will go and see him before I die. Now, this is an amazing revelation. This is a revelation of God in the midst of worship. So God just gave him something, right? Look what happens with this. Look at verse 1 of verse 4 of chapter 46. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father. Sometimes it's hard to sing, oh, how I love Jesus. I'm just being honest. Is that true? Have you ever been in a place where it's hard to sing? Because there's weeping. It's hard. You know God knows that too. And it's not wrong. It's not wrong. It's good for us to be honest. Lord, this is not a good place for me. I can't sing your praise. Jacob was there. But now God just gave him some information. God just gave him a revelation. And this time of worship, right? He said, it's enough. In verse 28, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now I want you to think about this. He's saying, I'm going to die. And he's older. And so, I'm going to get to see him. Do you think that put a little excitement in his life? So now he's going to make a sacrifice. He's making an offering of sacrifices unto the Lord in chapter 46, verse 1. Do you think he's enjoying the sacrifice that he's making for the Lord now? He's got some joy, doesn't he? Now watch this, ready? Now he's in a place to make sacrifice to the Lord. Look at the next thing in verse 2. And God spake unto Israel. Wow, man, things are moving in the right direction. Jacob was in a valley for many years. God's bringing him out. But listen, God had the answer all the time. And so we find here in verse 2, and God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. That's a revelation that God has given to him. Do you think he's a little bit excited about that? Look at verse 4. I will go down with thee into Egypt. Now you're talking. Amen? I want to be where God's at. And I will also surely bring thee up again. This is his promise. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Wow. God gave him that. So if God gives it, there's no doubt about it. I think he's on easy street at this time. Life is a bunch of ups and downs. God knows that in our lives, but he's going to be faithful to us. And that's by the way, we need to show our trust in the Lord in those valleys. And listen, ask God for the strength. I'm telling you, despair, disappointment, what else? Depression. All those are real emotions. They're real. You and I, I'm going to tell you, you and I can work ourselves into depression. Yeah? Yeah. I can think about some things in my life that'll make me cry. My mom and dad don't know Christ as my Savior. For all eternity. Do you think that doesn't bother me? But that's not where God wants me to live. God wants us to walk in his promises. And as we look here, the last thought, a walk of faith with an expectation. So look at verse 5 in chapter 46 here, and notice what happens here. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, and their wagons, which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons, with him his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons, and Reuben and Jacob's firstborn. Now, I just want to stop right there and let you understand that he was experiencing this fulfillment. Now, I'm going to ask you to drop down here to verse 28, and I want you to see this fulfilled promise. This is God's work fulfilled. Verse 28, and he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. This is the promise. And Joseph made ready his chariot, and he went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. You think they had a glad reunion day? Do you think there was a place and time where Jacob never entertained the idea that he would see his son again? I say for many years he did that. And so God's fulfilling this promise. And so there he is, and he's on his son's neck, and he's just enjoying the reunion. And the Lord said unto Joseph, verse 30, and Israel said unto Joseph, now, let me die, since I've seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. That's a comical statement right there. I'm going to show you why here in just a moment. All right? Okay, do you get the picture? I've seen Joseph. I'm ready to go home. Boom. Take me home, Lord. I'm ready. But wait a minute. Go over to chapter 47 and look at verse 28. Just so that you see God's faithfulness. Ready? And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt. How many years? 17 years. Jacob thought, okay, he got to enjoy his son for 17 years. I don't know, that may have been the exact amount of time that he had been away from him. It was certainly around the age that he was taken into captivity. And so now he lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. I'm convinced Jacob didn't know he had 17 more years. But God blessed him. And we can either walk in fear, walk in unbelief, or we can have the confidence in the Lord. I don't understand it, Lord, but I'm going to trust you. You are holy, you are righteous, and you will do the right thing. You will do the right thing, and you'll be praised. Amen? Do you think Israel or Jacob, however you want to call him, do you think he needed any conjuring to worship God? God doesn't want you and I to need any conjuring to worship him. God wants to give us a reason, and that is our God revealed to us in a life-changing way. He is the one that changes our life. We cannot, listen, even if we want to, we cannot change our own life. You could be a saved child of God, and you can want to change your own life. Peter did. Peter was going to change his life. He was not going to deny the Lord. Was he successful? No, and you and I won't be either. It's not until we wholeheartedly give ourselves to the Lord and say, God, it's yours. I don't understand everything, but I don't need to. I just trust you. You know, it's an amazing thing. I'm gonna close with this thought. It's an amazing thing. I've got 4 kids, in case you didn't know. I'll tell you again. Ready? 4 kids. Josiah's 15, going to be 16 in May. That's a warning for you all. Driver's license, right? And then I've got Julia, 22. Gracie is she 22 too? 21. They're 17 months apart, so they catch up somewhere along the lines there. And Jessica, are you at the age I can't say how old you are? 27, right? 27. Oh, too late, sorry. And it's an amazing thing. You know, we had them all in booster seats and in car seats. And now I hear, Dad, look out. Dad, hey, Dad. And I'm like, do you know you never complained when you guys were little? And now you all are worried about it. Now, I'm going to scare you here. Ready? I love my kids. They will accompany me, one more than most of them, will accompany me to drive down to Pensacola to pick up my kids that are down there. And we'll start out at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning. And they're going to help me stay awake. I'm telling you, 1 or 2 hours. And it's an amazing thing. The sun comes up and I'm still on the road. I ought to hear some praising from them and some thankfulness. And thank you, Dad, for staying on the road. Thank the Lord. Amen. You can thank the Lord for keeping me on the road. But what I'm trying to say is that God holds us in his hands. And we worry about things many times that we don't need to worry about because he's the one that is in control. Even when the phone rings, he's still in control. And he wants to draw us closer to himself. That's where our peace is at. That's where the hurting and the hurts get fixed. Knowing that whether it makes sense or not to us, he brings us into the place of rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. Lord, do a work in our hearts and minds to seek you, and even in those difficult times when we're in a low place, that we might look to you from where our strength comes from. Bless, Lord, the invitation. Speak to our hearts, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.